Well, hi everybody, how are you today? This is Mark Ciaffardini. Thank you ever so much for coming back to the Ghost Sea Talk podcast experience. We are thrilled and delighted to speak to our next guest. If you've seen Sarat, then you know that sound is important. I mean, sound is usually important in your life, but it means so much to the movie. It means so much to the narrative and the characters. It is raw and explosive, and we are thrilled to be speaking to the man behind that sonic soundscape, Kang Ding Ray. How are you doing today? Thank you so much for being on the show. How's things in your world?
I'm very good. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's been a crazy few days since the nomination, so I'm very good.
Well, the nominations are not without extreme round of applause, high fives, back patting, all that good stuff. It's a phenomenal film, and I hate to go to a very simple question, but how did you get involved? I got to know, where the starting points for something like this had to be.
In a very simple way, I was approached by Oliver to work on this film because he liked my music, so it was very simple, but he was looking for someone, and he approached different people, I believe. But when we met, we just had like this instant click. Like we knew we were on the same level, the same wavelength for sure. And we had some incredible discussions that went very deep, very fast. So. It was auguring a long and beautiful work together, so, which we did. It involved me almost 2 years before they started to shoot, or 2 years before the premiere maybe. So we had a lot of time to to work together before it was a long process to define this style, this music, the right the right tone.
Well, yeah, this has been living in his head for 12 years, so I would assume that it takes a lot of care to craft something. It's very weird. You watch the film, you listen to the music, it seems very simple. It doesn't seem like a lot's happening, but I think that's the beauty of it. You're not getting force-fed a lot of hard narrative. There's not a lot of unnecessary dialogue. It's very nebulous and it's free-flowing, which is, in a way is a lot like music and the rave. So how did these discussions that were deep, it sounded like you knew it was going to be a dark movie or a dark effort. So how did some of those conversations go?
Yeah, I mean, it was clear when I first read the script, that it would be a film which is not there to just like entertain you and then you leave the cinema and you forget about it. It was definitely going to be a film that stays with you and that like gives you maybe food for thought, or also might give you answers at some point if you really connect with it. And the Sirat is not, as you said, like it's not a film where that bombards you with like lots of narrative, and like the magic of the film lies in everything which is not said or which is not shown. You have to come to your own conclusions, and the music is there to guide you, basically. That's what we try to do. The music is sort of a guide in these like dangerous path in the desert, and it makes you feel things, makes you feel like euphoria, grief, pain, and also guide you sometimes towards a place or at least a direction to look at, which is often the sky in that film.
Well, speaking of direction, I'm glad you used that word because it is very, when I use the word nebulous, I mean, it's hard to define, but directionless, each step that the characters take is very uncertain. They're looking for Mar, they're looking for the second rave, their second music festival, and you don't know if it's there. There's no certainty. It's a step towards, oblivion at some points. So how did that manifest into your music?
It's I mean, it's this film ask a lot more question than it answers, which is a great thing. And in music, it is a very rich base to think about, because a music which is very defined and resolved, and who gives you all the answers, is is not the one that really interests me. For example, I like things that are undefined, where you don't know if it's like, is it noise, or is it music, is it do I feel, is it like beautiful, or is it ugly, or and all the things that are in between, like what you can consider a harsh sound might be, if you can be also at the same time the most beautiful thing you've heard, like. And I love working in those spaces where it's like in between, like create emotions through things that are a bit outside the traditional range,
Sure.
and so it really inspires me a lot, like it's that.
And I had been reading and watching a couple of videos. Oliver talks about the message of fragility and vulnerability, how looking the movie's really about looking inside. And I guess when you work with somebody who wants something from you versus you putting music out there yourself, how is the doubt, the dance or the balance work to the point where Oliver might feel a certain way and you might have a certain interpretation?
I mean, as I said, we worked a long time together on this film, and it's quite rare to be involved so early in the process for a composer. A lot of time you have you're like pressed, and you have to come up with something, and you have the film. But I didn't. I wrote most of the music on the script. About 80 to 90% was already composed by the time they started to shoot the film. So here we had quite a lot of time to go back and forth, and he would come to my studio, stay at my place in Berlin for like very long, like long sections of like 4 or 5 days, where we would just sometimes just listen to music, or just sometimes like try things. Some obviously it wasn't like it was not like a fairy tale. Like we didn't like agree on all things, and that's the beauty of an artistic process. Like we had to fight sometimes to discuss and convince each other, but there was always a sort of a moment where there would be something that really clicks for both of us, and then sometimes with images and sound, there is this sort of like magic that happens, and you don't know why, and we still don't know why. But when it hits the right tone and the right intensity and the right amount of like when it takes its right place, basically. It's very easy to be overpowering, and it's a little it's you see that sometimes a lot. You're like, oh yeah, like you can feel the ego of the composer like taking over the screen, and I didn't want that to happen. I wanted to be to have the right amount of restraint, like to be at the right place in the film to guide, but not to overpower the beautiful images of Oliver. And most of the time when that magic happened, we agreed on that pretty, strongly.
Well, I love how music is interpreted by everybody differently. There's a part in a film where people, I can't even describe how they were climbing on the speakers, but there's a sort of zombie-like, getting close and just in how it moves you. And I think what is great about your work is that in this film, it gets under your skin. It makes you feel uneasy, but it also makes you do this
Yes.
and then this every now and then. And so it's a nice dance between like, ooh, this music is almost warning me this is danger, but I just can't stop moving. It propels you. So there's not a question there. It's just more of how well it worked.
No, that's thank you. Yeah, I'm glad you feel that, because that's very much in the spectrum of like the kind of things we wanted to suggest. This is the type of life that these people live. They live on the edge of the society. They chose a radical lifestyle, which is, to be honest, probably an omen also of where our societies, where our species is going. It is dangerous, but also real, and it is intense. It's very beautiful in a way, but you have to accept the danger for sure.
And I feel that this is a I don't know if it's parable or parallel, but it reminds me a lot of life. There's very, as I said before, there's no certainty. Many things can happen almost without you knowing, but that's the chance you take to just be alive and see what maybe the next thing
Yeah,
would be. And so I
it is
wonder,
a
do you
parable. Yeah, totally. Yeah, of life.
and so do you find maybe yourself scared at times, like, I don't know if this note is the right one, but you do it anyway and you go, yes, that was it. I tried. I succeeded, Or you failed and you learned something,
I fail all the time. I mean, that's what I'm doing most of the time, actually. I rarely do something like from first and then think like, oh, this is it. No, I mean, my activity is actually mostly failing and then doing it again and doing it again until it works. But that's the beauty. There's only people who don't try don't make mistake. You have to be ready to fail.
Well, let's talk specifically about the characters and maybe how that relates to your mindset. There's so many times the movie feels like a dream. You're not sure if it's going to be maybe it's an acid trip that everybody wakes up from, but I can't figure out if the characters are being driven, like they're pushing themselves, or they're being drawn. And I think that's, and then again, the beauty of it, because you can take it either way, and I think both is the right answer, it seems.
I think it's both. You don't know if it. I don't think. I mean, they're not victims, really, or they are victim of just being there, of being alive. But they're not. They look for something. That's the clear thing. Whether or not they are being pushed or forced to, or whether they are. I don't think they know themselves. They just look for something. They thrive for something different for that will, the next rave, what is behind the horizon. But it's a parable of life as well, because if you're alive, if you're really alive and you're like conscious about what is possible, you want to see what's behind the mirror.
Well, tell us what's behind the mirror of Catharsis. That is of the entire score soundtrack. I cannot stop listening to that one track. I also love North. What's another one? Amber Decay is really good. What are your favorites, and what made you just go, yeah, right after you got it,
Yeah,
recorded or
Catharsis
approved?
is one of the highlight for sure. Catharsis is one of the highlight. One of the cues I most prefer is that one called Horizon, when there's like this sort of like Blade Runner kind of vibe, where like shot of the desert with the trucks at night, and then you see the moon at the end, and I use these. The CS80, the Yamaha synth, that the same one that Vangelis used for Blade Runner, to have this sort of pad like chords doing like, and I think, I mean, this cue is like for me one of the highlight. It gets to me every time. It's just so emotional and shows you know, like this sort of the immensity of the desert and how little this the story of these people is, you know. It just like gives you a sense of dimension of, you know, of where they are, this immense landscape, and it get really humbles you, you know, as a human trying to find a path, yeah, this universe.
Well, I think you've definitely found your path, and I think that if any movie tells us how important music is, you know, you look back to how important Jaws was because Jaws was signaling the shark. Your music is signaling, you know, danger, danger, run away, people. But it I feel like the best way to experience this, or maybe describe your music and how well it ties to the narrative, I feel like it's me crazy gluing my ear to a speaker.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it. So again, it's a weird d dance between pain and pleasure. So the point where it's like it's a razor thin balance. I think they even say that in the beginning. Thin as a strand of hair and as sharp as a razor. It's like, wow.
That's the Sirat. Yeah, it's a bridge, which is yeah, it present in the Quran. Yeah.
Well, to do your magic, you know, it sounds like you have the tools, you have the trust, you have the collaboration with Oliver. Is there one tool specifically that beyond the Vangelis instrument you mentioned, like what really helped this become, you know, the sound you wanted?
I use a lot of modular synthesizers, or like I have this big wall. I don't know if what you know what's like a modular synthesizer, but these are like modules that you assemble where it's not a predefined sound, and I love the openness of it because it's not a machine that is already conceived to make a certain sound. You go to the button of what music with electricity is, and this is pretty much what I do. I do music with electricity, so I love to get to the bottom of it and know exactly which elements are connected to each other, and I connect them with you know, all together with cables to create my own sound and my own instrument. So prior to the research, I think about what kind of instrument I need, and I build this instrument, this electronic instrument, together, and then explore on it.
Your mad scientist brain has made history. So everyone check out Surratt. It's an
Thank you.
important film and it's as good as they say. And that's even before you hear your music. So again, round of applause, high fives, pats on the back. Thank you so much for your time. Parting is such sweet sorrow. We will catch you next time.
Thank you very much for having me.